Have you ever had a day where you were a little concerned your pants were going to fall down? Have you ever experienced that day? And was it the worst day of your life? It's a concerning day. There's nothing else. If you're worried, or maybe you were at the beach and you lost the drawstring on your swimsuit or something like that, and there was this deep fear of, if I get crashed with the wave at just the right velocity, I will come up out of the water with no pants on. That is a deeply concerning experience that some of us have had. And, you know, you don't think maybe a lot about your belt, but when you need a belt, you're awful grateful that you have a belt, because no matter what else is going on in your life, if you're concerned that your pants might fall down in front of God and everybody, it's hard to focus on whatever else might be going on in life. And when Paul is writing about the armor of God, he starts in a unique place. You would think that he would start with something that, you know, like the sword or the shield or the helmet, but instead he starts with what would seem at face value, the lowly old belt. Now, I need to give you a little bit of historical context. So the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this, he's chained to a Roman guard. So he's under house arrest. Ephesians is one of what we call the prison epistles. And so he's chained to a Roman soldier. And as he's trying to finish up this letter that he's writing to this church in Ephesus, he wants to bring it all to a close. And it's almost as if he looks against this Roman soldier that is chained to him, and he says, this Christian life and being able to implement all the things that I've talked about up to this point is really similar to a soldier's outfit. And one of the things that a soldier wears is that belt. And for us, a belt is, you know, it looks something like this. But for a Roman soldier, and what Paul's audience would have fully understand, the belt was kind of the thing that tied everything together. The belt held up that breastplate and it supported it. His tunic was wrapped up in the belt. The sword was held by the belt. Everything came together through the belt. And so, again, last week we kind of dove into this idea. Let me give you a quick recap in case some of you weren't here or if you missed out on last week. This is what the Apostle Paul said, and this is why he thinks it's so important. He says this in verse number 10 of chapter 6. He says, finally, I've talked about all these things. I've talked about who God is. I've talked about relationships. I've talked about how do we live as a person that's doing our best to follow Christ. He says, finally, because of all these things, I want you to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You don't have to live the Christian life on your own. You don't have to use your own strength, but there is power that is available to you. That's what we talked about last week. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so because of that, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that, and last week we had you circle the word when, so that when the day of evil comes, so that when you're in a battle, so that when you're in the struggle, so that when life doesn't seem to be going the way that you want it to go, not if, but when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And we said that that is my goal for you as a follower of Christ. My goal for you is that you are able to stand, that you are able to face temptations, you're able to face frustrations, you're able to face some things that come against you, and at the end of the day, maybe there's some scars, maybe there's some times where you didn't get it all right, but at the end of the day, you can say to yourself, I stood. I didn't get overwhelmed by evil. I didn't get overwhelmed by the things that were coming against me. Stand your ground and have, after you have done everything to stand, then in verse number 14, this is where we're starting today, stand firm then with, here it is, this armor of God, the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And so here's the big idea today. If you fall asleep or if you have to leave early, if you're watching online and if you lose connection, here's the big idea of today, that if you're not buckled into truth, if I'm not buckled into truth, we're going to drift into something else. That we live in a world, and this isn't just a church thing, this is just a thing, that people say, well, this is true and this is what you need and this is the direction you should be going and this is the thing that you should be pursuing. All the advertisements that you see on TV say, man, if you just had this, then you would be. If you could drive a nicer, if you had a bigger, if you could get more, that the truth is you need this, and if you would just get this, then you would be happy. And the Apostle Paul says, you need to understand as a follower of Christ, what is true? What is real? What is that thing that can anchor you? Because if you don't understand what truth is, you'll drift and you'll start to think, well, that's true. And my emotions that I feel in the moment are true. And this frustration that I feel in the moment, that's what's going to lead my life. And the Apostle Paul says, there is a truth bigger than the moment. There is a truth that's bigger than whatever culture is pointing you to. There is a truth that's bigger than just what you feel. There is a truth that can anchor your life. And if you can strap that on, that can support the rest of your life. Just like the real belt supported the breastplate, just as the real belt held the sword, he said, if you can strap into your life as you're in your 20s, or as you're starting your grandparenting age, or as you're empty nesters, or as you're a teenager and thinking about college, or whatever stage of life you find yourself in, if you can every day wake up and say, I want to put on truth, everything else wraps around that. So really quickly this morning, we're going to talk about three things. We're going to say that the truth changes me, that truth will give me freedom, and that truth will guide me. That if I will wake up every day, it can't be a one-time choice. That if I wake up every day and if I put on God's truth, if I decide that I think that God is telling me the truth, that I think that God's word is alive and active and it's for me and it's something that I can implement in my life. If I put that on, three things, not exclusively three things, but we're going to talk about three things, that truth will change me, that truth can free me, and the truth will guide me if I will let it. The first one is this, that the truth will change me. When the Apostle Paul says, put on the belt of truth, he's not just saying, well, just know facts about God. He's saying, I want you to wrap your life in the only thing that can change you from the inside out. That's what God's goal for your life is. That he doesn't want just behavior modification. He doesn't want you just to change some external things. He wants you to get truth inside of you. And when truth is inside of you, it's going to change you from the inside out. Jesus said it himself in John chapter 17. He says this, my prayer, and he's praying for us. He's praying for me, and he's praying for you. My prayer is not that you, God, would take them out of the world. So his prayer is not that when you cross that line of faith and place your faith in Jesus, that your life would just be moved to heaven right then. He's not saying, my prayer isn't that you would remove any struggle from them. My prayer isn't that they would have a nice, cushy life. That's not my prayer for them, but that you would protect them from the evil one. The Apostle Paul believed, just like what Jesus believed, that there was, we talked about this last week, a spiritual enemy who has a plan for you. And he wants to defeat you, he wants to discourage you, he wants to throw you off balance. Jesus believed that. And so he said, if he was gonna pray for you, he would say, my prayer for you is that you would protect them from the evil one. And go to that next slide for me. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. And then he says this, sanctify them. And sanctify just means change. Sanctify means to set apart, to make something holy, to make something devoted, to make something different. That I want you to sanctify them. How do we do that? We sanctify them by truth, put on the belt of truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Well, what is the truth? Is the truth whatever this person says? Is the truth whatever feels right in the moment? Is the truth whatever I feel when I wake up? And some days I wake up in a good mood and sometimes I wake up in a bad mood. Is the truth whatever seems popular in the moment? He says, no. Sanctify them by your truth, your word. What we have here, your word is truth. And so here's what Jesus is saying. Father, change them by immersing them in your truth. That they have been saved, that they have been redeemed, but now I want you to begin the process of forming them more and more into the image that you have called them to be. I want you to change them, just like a clay begins to be changed and shaped and molded. He says, I want you to change them, and the change happens by your word. Your word is truth. Truth is the tool that makes us more like Jesus. That when I take this seriously and when I put it into my life and when I anchor my life in it, this is the tool. Not just a church service, although that can be part of it. But God's word is that tool to make us more and more and more like Jesus. Because here's what's true for all of us. Here's certainly what's true for me and true for you, is that you are being formed by something. That life, and you know this, that life is not neutral. That we all, that's why people pay millions of dollars to put commercials on the television, because they want to shape you. They want to shape you to buy that thing or to move in that direction. That's why all the Facebook ads come up and say, I want to push you in this direction, because they understand that people are able to be shaped. People are able to be moved in a direction. And Apostle Paul says, if you don't put on the belt of truth, if you don't anchor your life in God's word, your life will just go here and there, and it'll be on this side of things one day, and it'll be on that side of things the other day. But there is a better way that you can be changed, and it's by immersing yourself in that truth. That what Jesus would tell us is that the same truth that saved us is the truth that will shape you. So if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have said, I believe what Jesus accomplished is real, that he really did die a sinner's death on the cross, that he rose to life in victory. So that is a truth that you have believed, and that truth saved you. That truth that you believed in, that is what crossed you into that line of, I believe that Jesus is who he said he was. Now, what Jesus wants to go is, I want you to now take that further. I want you to believe the rest of this truth. And when you believe the rest of this truth, you will start to be changed. That God will start to, with his truth, he'll start to point out some areas of your life that he wants to shape and that he wants to change. In other words, that if you're just being always comforted by the scripture, but never confronted by the scripture, we probably have some work to do. I'm so grateful for the comfort of the scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That I'm so grateful for the comfort that God has a plan for my life, a plan to prosper me and not to harm me, to give me hope and a future. There's so much comfort in the scripture. And there's also the truth that points out things. No, that's not the right attitude. No, that's not the right way to live. That's not the right way to think. That scripture should comfort, but it should also, because if it's true, it should confront. That I let scripture challenge me. I let scripture point out some things in my life, because I can't be changed by a truth that I don't submit to. I have to submit myself that if I really do believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and if I really believe that this is God's word that's been passed down to me, that I have to submit myself to that. I submit my emotions to that. I submit my mind to that. I submit the words that I use to that. I submit my relationships to that. I submit my money to that. Every part of my life, I submit it to truth. And when I do that, inevitably, there's going to be some things that I have to change. Not so that I can earn God's love. It's not anything to do with earning God's love. I'm loved because of the truth of who Jesus is. But because of the truth of who Jesus is now, I want to put on the belt of truth, because I don't want to be swayed. I don't want to be knocked off course. I want to be sanctified by truth. I want to be changed by truth. That it is not enough. It's not enough to simply be inspired. It's not enough to simply be encouraged. I want to submit to it. I want to put my life underneath the truth of God's word and say, if there is something in my life that you want to change, if there's something in my life that you want to point out, because of the truth of the cross, I also submit myself to the truth of what should I do with my life, and I want to be sanctified. The truth changes me. The truth, if I really believe it. And the other side of the coin is this: either that I will shape myself to what I believe is true and I'll be willing to change, or I will shape what I think is true to what I feel in the moment. I'll shape what I believe is true to whatever I decide that day. But here's what you know: is that the things that you really strongly believed 10 years ago might not be the things that you really strongly believe today. That's why some of us have tattoos that we regret, right? Because you were so confident that this is true, and I'm gonna get this tattoo, and I'm gonna love it forever. And now, you look back at that tattoo and think, I'm not sure that that was the wisest choice. And that's okay. You know, they can cover that up, they can do some things, but it's a difficult way to live life. That if truth is always changing, depend on what I feel in the moment. And so if I just anchor myself in, I'm going to let truth shape me. I'm going to mold myself according to truth. And then not only does truth change me, but then truth also, it frees me. I put on that belt of truth and it challenges my assumptions. It changes the way that I live. And then it brings me beautiful, beautiful freedom. Now, in the world today, we think of freedom as the absence of rules. That what I want, and especially young people, man, I just can't wait to be free. I just can't wait to, there's no rules and I can do whatever I want. But what Jesus says is that actually freedom is not doing whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want, in whatever way that you want. Jesus says freedom is actually found in submission. Freedom is found in following. Freedom is found in saying, I'm going to let Jesus lead and guide my life. And because he's leading, because he's guiding, there I find freedom. John chapter 8, again, Jesus saying this, to the Jews who had believed him, this is an important part. There was a group of Jewish people that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They believed that he was more than just a prophet, more than just a teacher. They believed in him. But then Jesus has this interesting encounter with them. You can read the context for yourself. We're only going to read 5 verses. To the Jews who had believed, and some of you are there today, that probably most of you, you believed. I think that Jesus is who he says that he is. I believe that. Here's what Jesus said to them. Here's what Jesus would say to us. Here's what he would say to me. Here's this word. If you hold, here's what that word hold means. I want you to remain close. I want you to abide. I want you to step by step. I want you to remain with me. If you hold to my teaching, truth, well, that's the mark of a disciple. That simply agreeing with something is not necessarily the mark of a disciple. Simply saying, yes, I think that is true, is not necessarily the sign of a disciple. The sign of a disciple is that I believe that, and then because of my belief, I hold to that. I anchor myself in that. I abide in that. He says, then, if you'll do that, if you'll hold, if you'll anchor, if you'll stay close, if you will abide in me, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that caused some problems for those Jewish believers. They say, wait a minute, I need a little bit further explanation. They pushed back and they said this. They answered him and they said, we're Abraham's descendants and we've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And we think that ourselves. Well, I don't need freedom, I'm an American. I've got money in my bank account, I can do whatever I want. What is this freedom that you're talking about? And Jesus says this, very truly, I tell you, everyone, we're included, who sins, you ever sinned? Well, of course you have. You ever told a lie? Have you ever went back on your word? Have you ever done something that you knew wasn't right, but you just wanted to do it because it felt good? Of course you have. Of course I have. Jesus called that sin. Anyone who sins, well, you're a slave to it. You submit yourself to sin. You let sin direct your life. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but somebody that is connected, somebody that has relationship, but a son belongs to it forever. And then he goes on and he says, so if the Son sets you free, well, you will be free indeed. That truth doesn't just free you because you hear it. Truth frees you from your past and frees you from addiction and frees you from what other people think and frees you from the regrets that you've had. Truth is able to free you not simply by hearing it, but while you implement it into your life. Again, that word hold, it says, I just want to remain close. Jesus would say, we don't have it on the screen, that I am the way, I am the truth. And so how does truth free us? Well, I just stay close to Jesus. I just make it a choice that I'm not just going to simply agree with something, I'm going to follow something. In order to receive freedom, I'm going to place myself under the submission of Jesus, that freedom is found in following truth. And Jesus is the truth. That freedom is found, again, we think of freedom as no rules. I'm just going to do whatever I want. And when I can finally get there, if I can just get enough money in my bank account, if I can just have enough time, if I can just have no rules, if I can get out from the house, then I will be free. And Jesus, that's not real freedom. Because if we're a slave to sin, a person that's a slave to sin, their life is directed by sin. And their life is moved in the direction that sin wants to take it in. But if I place myself under the lordship of Jesus, it changes me and then it frees me. What does it free me from? It frees me from sin. It frees me from my past. It frees me from the things that I know I shouldn't have done, but I did it anyway. The truth, again, it's not something that changes. It's not something that can shift with the sands of time. The truth is found in a person. And when I connect myself to Jesus, there's wonderful freedom. There's beautiful freedom. And sometimes that freedom comes with, no, we're not moving that direction. Sometimes that freedom comes with, no, that's not the right way for you to go. And why does Jesus do that for us? Why does Jesus seem to put limits on our freedom? Here's why. Because he knows moving in that direction, while in this moment might seem right, in reality, it's going to end up in bondage. If you move in that direction, what might seem and feel like freedom in the moment results in you being a slave to that thing. It results in being controlled by that thing. And so why don't you choose on the backside, I'm going to enslave myself to Jesus. I'm going to place myself under the lordship of Jesus. I'm going to let Jesus be my king and direct my life. And in the direction of Jesus' life, I find freedom. It's counterintuitive that freedom is found in submission. Freedom is found, and I'm going to follow in the footsteps of who Jesus is and what Jesus says. So what does truth do? What do I need to do when I put on that belt of truth? I recognize, well, if it needs to change me, I'm going to let it change me. If it needs to shape me, I'm going to let it shape me. I'm going to place myself under Jesus' lordship because that's where freedom is found. How many of us have some regrets in our life that could have been avoided if we would have put ourselves under the lordship of Jesus? That we are now, we're a slave to something or a slave to a relationship, we're a slave to some things that we know we shouldn't have done. And if we would have just been under Jesus' kingship and lordship and direction, we wouldn't have been in that scenario to start with. That's what Jesus offers. And you can start that today. What does truth do? Truth changes me. Truth is going to free me. And then here's the last one, we'll be done. Well, truth guides me. It's so generous of Jesus. He says, well, I'm not just going to send them out into the world and wish them the best, and I'll see you on the other side. Jesus said, it's actually better if I leave. Jesus had risen from the dead, and he was promising his disciples, I'm going to leave, but it's actually better for you. And his disciples would think same way that we thought. No, Jesus, I want you in person. I want you to be with me, and I want you to be the one that I can see. And he says, no, it's actually better because I'm going to send you the Spirit. Then the Spirit will lead you step by step, day by day. And the Spirit can be with me, and the Spirit can be with you. And on your best day, the Spirit is there. And on your worst day, the Spirit is there. And if you'll allow him, he will guide you. John chapter 16, verse 13 says that when he, the Spirit of truth comes, what's he going to do? Well, he's going to guide you into all the truth. He's not going to speak on his own. He's only going to speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. It's personal. It's present. It's real. It's something that we can hold on to. And we live in a world that is so desperate. You see it all around. It's so desperate for guidance and so desperate for wisdom. That's why there's tarot card readings and there's a Ouija boards and there's palm readings and there's horoscopes. Do you know why all that stuff is out there? Is because you have a spiritual enemy. And your spiritual enemy can't create anything, but he can imitate things. And so his imitation of the Holy Spirit is, well, I want to give them a little taste of guidance too. I want to give them a little taste of wisdom too. And because we're so desperate for wisdom and we're so desperate for guidance, we will move into those things that are not the best for us. And why I'm so against those things is not because it's just fun and harmless and it's not a big deal. The reason I'm so against it, and I think Jesus is against it, because it is real. Because it does have power, and it has power that will lead us into bondage, and has power that will lead us into a place that we ought not to be. And why? Why would we settle for it? Why would we settle for a less than wisdom? Why would we settle for a less than guidance? If we really do have the Spirit, and if the Spirit is on our side, and if he's for us, and if he'll lead us into all truth, why would I settle for an imitation version of it? I have the Spirit guiding and leading me, and he wants to lead me into all truth. And here's where, just if I could just have you for just a moment, here's why it's so important. It's so important that you understand what is true, because the less truth you know, the less truth you know, the easier it is for you to be led astray. And we live in a world, I saw it this week, we live in a world that anybody can say anything and it sounds true. It sounds real. And then you dig a little deeper and you say, I don't know about that. And we have TikTok preachers and we have the Instagram influencers, and they're all promoting what seems to be true. And if you don't know what truth is for yourself, you can be pulled into something that at the outside looks true, but when you start to dig a little bit deeper, oh, it's not true at all. That's why you need to know for yourself, not from me. You need to know for yourself, what is true? Do you know what else you need to do? You need to not just assume everything that I say is true, because I'm fallible. I don't always get it right. Now, I do my best to be led by God, and I do my best to make sure that I'm honoring and saying what the Word of God says, but I'm not infallible. And so you can't just take everything that I say as, well, that's gospel, because I am not the truth. And so it's perfectly acceptable, and you should be. You've got to get into the truth on your own. You've got to understand what the truth is. That way, when the TikTok preacher comes in, or the influencer comes in, or somebody knocks at your door, and somebody tries to pull you into this other truth, that little flag pops up, and you say, oh, that's not true. Well, why do you know that's not true? Because I know what's true. And I'm not going to be pulled into something that has a little bit of truth in it, but at the end of the day, it's poison. That's what the enemy does. The enemy says, well, it's not that big of a deal. He's done it since the garden. What did he say in the garden? Did God really say? That's probably not going to harm you. That's probably not that big of a deal. That we have a truth that if we can understand what this says about who God is, we can understand what it says about me, it can understand what it says about my past, about my future, about my present, I can be led into all truth. Proverbs says it this way, trust in the Lord. Well, Lord, don't trust in me. Don't dare trust in me. Don't trust in the TV preacher. Again, we're trying to do our best, but we're not always getting it right. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Some of us, that's the problem that we have with our life. Because my understanding, some days I wake up on the wrong side of the bed and I'm grumpy and I'm hard to get along with, and I can be led by what seems true in that moment. And sometimes it's just because, well, I didn't sleep very well, or I'm hungry, or I've got this other thing going on. And in the moment, it seems so true, but it's just trusting in me. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all of your ways, submit. That's what we've been talking about this morning. Submit to him. What's he gonna do? He is gonna make your path straight. That we can trust that God, if we are willing to listen, if we're willing to listen, then he'll guide us. We don't have to settle for generic. We don't have to settle for the imitation. We don't have to settle for the fake. We have the real thing. But what does it do? How does it work? We've got to choose to put it on. I put on a belt this morning, but you know what? This belt wouldn't do me any good hanging in my closet. This belt, I could believe in this belt. I could be in close proximity to this belt. I could think that belt is really great. But you know, this belt didn't do me a lick of good until I took it off of the little hook and put it on. That's the same that's true about God's truth. That you can be inspired by it. You can be in close proximity to it. You can think that, boy, it's really good. But until you wake up tomorrow and if you put it on, it won't do you any good at all. Truth is not always comfortable, but it's always good. It doesn't always feel good, but it always is good. It's like a surgeon. A surgeon, what is a surgeon willing to do? A surgeon is willing to wound you in order to heal you. A surgeon is able to cut you so that you can, at the end of the day, you can be whole. You can be whole. That's what God's word will do, if you'll allow it. That if you're never confronted by the truth, it's probably an opportunity for you to say, God, is there some things that you want to change about me? Is there a scalpel that you want to put to some attitudes and some thoughts and some ways of thinking about my life? Sometimes the word of God, sometimes the truth of God, it confronts me. It points out, and it's with love. It's not to condemn you. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but it will confront, and it will challenge, and it will, if we'll allow it, it will change. Sometimes it exposes things that we'd rather keep hidden. The author of Hebrews said the word of God is like a two-edged sword, and it divides, and it points out, and it shows us what is real. 2 Timothy said it this way, all scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching. That's what I'm trying to do today. But it's not just teaching. Also, it's useful for rebuking. It's useful for saying, no, that's wrong. Nope, you can't do that. Nope, you believe the truth about the crucifixion and the resurrection. And because you believe the truth about it, submit yourself to the rest of the truth. And you're moving in the wrong direction. It's good for correcting. It's good for training in righteousness. See, God's goal for us, God's goal for me, and God's goal for you is to make us more and more and more like Jesus, his son. And how does he do it? Well, certainly he uses encounters and gatherings like this, but his real way that he performs that change and that sanctification is, I want to infuse truth in them. That we don't just admire it, we don't just think it's inspiring, encouraging. I choose to live by it. Even if it costs me something, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it challenges me, even when everything in culture is saying, no, go the other way. The truth, here's where I'm gonna end. Truth doesn't always feel good, but it will always lead you to what is good. So what do you do with that? What do you do with that? This week, here's what I want you to do. You just start your day saying, God, I want to be covered in your truth. And God, if there are some things in my life that you want to point out, then I'm willing to let you do that. If you want to be a surgeon on the heart of my life, if you want a surgeon, be a surgeon in my mind, if you want to be a surgeon in the way that I talk, in the way that I do my money, in whatever part of my life you want to change and you want to shift and you want to challenge, God, I want to put on the belt of truth. And as you do that, it'll change you. It'll give you some freedom, and that's what you need. And it will give you guidance that you're so desperate for. It's good news. It's good news, and it'll lead you to a good place. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And thank you for the truth that we can anchor ourselves in. And Lord, we confess that sometimes we have been led by something other than your truth. We've been led by what we feel. We've been led by what we think in the moment. We've been led by culture. We've been led by, we've been deceived by advertising. But we want to start today, and we want to be putting on the belt of truth. Lord, we want your truth to change us. And so, Lord, I'm praying for myself, and I'm praying for those that are here in the room, those that are watching online, that we would honor you by opening up every part of our life and saying, if there's something you want to change, I'm willing to change. If there's an area of my life that you want me to stop, or if you want me to start, then I'm willing to do that, because even if it hurts me in the moment, I know that it's for my good. Lord, I'm praying for some of us that we would find freedom in you, that we wouldn't just be near to you in proximity, that we would place ourselves underneath the lordship and the kingship of Jesus, that true freedom would be found in placing ourselves under your direct hand and your direct guidance. For some of us, Lord, we are desperate today for your guidance. Some of us are trying to figure out what direction to go. We're trying to figure out our job. We're trying to figure out our relationships. We're trying to figure out all these different areas of our life. And some of us have settled for cheap imitations and for cheap substitutes. But we're so grateful today that your Spirit will lead us into all truth. And so, Lord, would you open up our eyes to see and open up our ears to hear. Lord, for some of us to be able to hear your Spirit, we need to turn down some other things. That there's so much noise in our life and there's so many other competing voices that we can't hear your guidance. We can't hear your truth. We can't hear where you're calling us to be and go. And so lead us today. Lead us tomorrow. Lead us in this week as we move through our life. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.